Let's read the other section of this. Let's start at verse 13 and go through verse 16. So the first passage is when God sees Hagar. Now we're going to read about when Hagar sees God. Verse 13, and she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me, for she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Beer-lahai-rai. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Berad. And Hagar bore Abram a son. And Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. The Lord says that he heard Hagar's affliction, but it doesn't say that he heard that prayer. Whether Hagar was calling out to God or not, we don't know. But the Lord graciously hears our affliction, even when we fail to call out to him as we should. He not only hears and sees our affliction, but he sees our future after the affliction is over. The Lord goes on to tell Hagar how he will greatly multiply her descendants. Concerning her son in the womb, the Lord tells her to name him Ishmael, which means God hears. Because the Lord heard her affliction. And every time she called her son's name, she would be reminded about how God heard her affliction. Today we may not have an Ishmael walking around us to be our physical reminder. But you know what we have today? Testimonies. We have testimonies. We have things that God has done for us that reminds us of our Ishmael. That reminds us that he hears us. Can I get real with you for a minute? It is more than time and due time that we stop just going through the motions. It is time that we stop going through the same old thing. It's time that we stop being who we were last week and strive to be something greater than we were before. It's time that we become a church that is alive continually and not a church that is alive every now and again. Because in the last days, the love of many will wax cold. So that means that the fellowship that we once knew, I remember singings. Do you remember Saturday night singings? Some places, bless their hearts, are still trying to have singings. And I remember that churches would go and help one another. They didn't even have the best of choirs back then, but four or five of them would go, and they would go and sing to try to encourage the other church. Now if you show up to go to a church, they're trying to accuse you of sheep stealing, trying to accuse you of getting other members to go to their church. Well, brother, what are you trying to do messing with my people? Why are you going to shake their hand and tell them that you love them? What are you trying to do? And it becomes so much more than fellowship. It becomes an agenda. It becomes trying to accomplish men and women's goals. It becomes something far more than God had ever intended. You see, it was simple. Jesus walked in when people were doing things that shouldn't have been happening in the church, and he turned it over to make a statement. He turned over money changers' tables inside of the temple and made sure they understood what it was supposed to be. He said, this shall be a house of prayer. I love praise and worship. I love the word of God. But if we can't pray for the lost, what good are we? If we do not feel compassionate, listen, I'm here to tell you that I want to be the church that when somebody comes to the altar, that you can't even get up here to help pray for them because our heart is finally turned to somebody other than us. I want to see a true compassion begin to come out of our hearts because I'm here to tell you that the kind of difference that people need today is not just going to come with a God bless you, glad that you got to be here. It's not just going to happen when you just acknowledge somebody. You've got to give them something meaningful. You've got to show them that something has to change in them. Because the truth's going to hurt. But it's the truth that makes us free. You know what I'm afraid of more than anything? And I get scared of it on a weekly basis. I'm afraid that as we go through the motions sometimes, that we lose sight of why we're really here. And it's my heart's cry. God, help me to be focused on those that are broken. Help me to see those that are hurting. Help me to remember where I came from, that I would never neglect somebody that is hurting. There were people that went to see Jesus and they were crowded around him. And there was a woman that had the faith to believe that if she could get to the hem of his garment, she would be made whole. But how many of you know it would have been a whole lot more easy if everybody would have just got out of the way and let her get up there? Her faith made her whole. Without the Spirit moving abundantly in the house of God, where there is no glory, there is no conviction. And where there is no conviction, there is no urgency to change anything. And you'll have drug addicts come in and shout and dance and praise and feel nothing to change who they are. You'll have people living in abomination that feels like they don't need to do anything any different. That's a dangerous place to be. That's a dangerous body of Christ to pretend like you are. Because when Jesus saw a leper, he didn't leave them as a leper, did he? When he saw people that was blind, he didn't tell them it's going to be all right. You just go on. You'll find your way. When he found people that were lame, he did not leave them to be lame. So church, that's telling us that we cannot leave the drug addict alone. We cannot leave the drunkard behind. We cannot assume that the lost will understand it one day. We can't turn a blind eye to those that are hurting. We cannot turn away from those that are broken, because one day, my friend, it very well may be you that needs help, and nobody will be there. But we've got to break the system. We've got to be something different. We've got to represent something. I'm not here for a name. I'm not here for your money. I'm here to see somebody that is hurting have their life turned around. How many of you are saved in the house of God? That means you know him, right? You know him. He is aware of your problems. And you may not know Christ tonight, but I'm here to tell you he's known you since you were formed in your mother's womb. He has known you since you were a child. He has known you all the times that you may have turned him away. He has seen your life and knows everything about you. When I came to pray and repent, Beth, I didn't have to go through the whole list of all my transgressions. I only made it through about three or four before I felt something. I didn't make it through all the things I'd done wrong. I just remember saying, God, I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry for what I've done. Oh, you would make such a difference in your life if those three words would come out of your mouth more than every now and then. I'm talking to Christians, and I'm talking to the lost. If you'd only but just say, God, I'm sorry for what I've done, he would be able to move on from things 10 times faster. We are not here to be the desert. Every time we're complacent, I'm just presenting the reality. I don't like to say it. Every time that we become complacent, every time we let the fear of others keep us on our seat, every time the praises are literally collapsed within us because of what we see in our eyes, somebody is in the midst that is hurting, that needs you to go beyond your comfort zone. They need you to go beyond your fears. They need to see something greater, because faith and fear cannot live together. Light and darkness have no fellowship with one another. Bitter and sweet waters cannot dwell in the same fountain. So unless you learn to get past your fears, you'll never speak in the name of Jesus, be thou healed, and have any belief or conviction behind it. You might not think that I know, but I'm here to tell you, God showed me. There's a lot of you tonight that are living in fear. I'm not going to look at anybody, because I don't want you to feel like I'm talking about you. But I'm making that statement loud and clear. God has showed it to me. It has been revealed to my heart that we're walking in fear. We're afraid of what people think. We're afraid of what pastor's going to say. Wherever you go to church, we're afraid of singing too many songs. We're afraid of preaching too long. I joke about that all the time. I don't really care either way. We get afraid about when we feel the spirit of prophecy in us, when we're next to someone and just reaching out and giving it to them. We're afraid to let people hear us speak in other tongues because of what they'll think of us. We're afraid to lift our hands because there's people that we know that never lifted up their hands before. And, well, I don't know what they'll think about me if I lift up my hand tonight. Brother, I'm here to tell you, I don't know every single song that they ever play, but I'm here to tell you that I still try. And just trying means more than sitting back in fear. You might be waiting on somebody to give you all the tips and actions to be an effective minister. But I'm here to tell you, you just got to try. And God will help you. You might be waiting for somebody to give you the boldness to be an effective prophet, but all you've got to do is try, because you've already been given what you need to accomplish the task. And I'm here to tell you, if you keep attending here, we're going to uproot every single fear that tries to come in this house. Because I've been praying about it. I've been seeking God for what is keeping us down. So if you think that you... I'd either come and just go ahead and face it, or I'd take a couple weeks off and hope that nobody gets to you. But either way, God's going to be around you. I don't even like talking about this, but I'm going to say it anyway. There was a time when I found my true deliverance in God, but I wasn't fully equipped because I didn't study to show myself proven. And when I was tempted early on in my deliverance, I failed. For 2 or 3 months of my life, I did everything against what I was supposed to do. And I'm not proud of that. It's not easy to admit that, especially in public in front of a group of people. Do you think it's easy to look somebody in the eye and tell them that you failed before? You don't walk up to your boss and tell them that you accidentally hit delete on all these files. If you hit somebody's car, you don't feel good about going up to them to tell them that you dinged their bumper. It's not easy to admit our failures. But let me tell you, friends, it's necessary. I failed before. And just when I was about to take off, the enemy came in and got me before I even knew what hit me. And it was only a matter of time before everything that I had felt joy in was revoked out of my heart. And I was broken. And I was torn. And you know what? I could have picked any church in town to go in. But let me tell you what happened. There was a few people that I had met along the way that loved me. Regular old people that loved me. They didn't know me. They weren't my family, but they loved me. And when I was in the lowest place, it caused me to go back when I once remembered somebody that cared. And I didn't know anybody from Adam, but all that I knew is that I needed help. And I thank you for being somebody that will receive the broken. I'm thankful that I've met people that I know now that still love me just like they loved me then. I want us to be that kind of people that when people meet us, they feel connected. I want to be that kind of church that when people go in and out, that when they get in trouble, they can remember a place where they were loved. Don't you want to be that kind of body? Don't you want to be that kind of Christian? That's really where the bottom line is tonight. He saved you, and the evidence of him in you is that you love your neighbor. Amen. As you love yourself. Amen. So let's stop thinking that we don't need to go to the altar when they go to pray. Let's stop thinking, well, 10 or 12 people standing up and praising, I don't have to. Let's stop thinking, well, I speak in tongues when I'm at home in prayer. I don't have to do that here. Let's stop letting the devil keep putting hurdles in our way before we'll ever finally get in a good stride of making a difference. I would not be here today without compassion. God showed compassion to Hagar. He showed compassion to Ishmael. And I'm here to tell you, he has compassion for you. I feel that in my heart. We need to know that God sees our affliction. Do you receive that tonight? He sees our troubles. So let's stop trying to feel like that we've got it told to enough people to feel like somebody knows about what we're dealing with. Because you know what? There's some things I've been through lately. Ask me how many people that I told. Now ask me who I asked instead. Somebody humor me. If we could come together and just remember where to take it, then we can move mountains when others would leave them to stay. When other people would let people just live the way that they're living in sin, we can be a church that'll love them enough to tell them there is a better way. We've got to stop compromising to what the world has modeled as church. Because you know what? By the time you get it down pat and it looks like what people call church, there'll be this many people saved. there'll be this many people delivered. And if you're not going to show people love, especially the youth of today, if you're not going to love them, guess how many of them's going to come back? And you know what we'll become unless we're going to reach out to the youth of today? A mausoleum of what used to be. Brother Matt, I don't want us to be the last 8 or 10 people with gray hair jumping around praising God and not loving anybody else but ourselves. I'm not going to be that guy. So if you want to be that person, this is not for you. If you want to beat on Hagar and say, how could she ever get anything good? This sermon's not for you. If you're going to judge people and beat them down and never give them a chance, this place is not for you. But let me tell you where there is a place, at the altar of God, and He'll cause you to get things squared away. Amen. Let me read this last passage to you. Go ahead and stand up with us tonight. God reveals that Ishmael will be a wild man, a strong, independent, untamed man. He'll be a fighter whose hand will be against everyone. In the last line of verse 12, the word means both to the east and over against. And both were true. Ishmael's Arab descendants both lived to the east and were over against and in opposition to Isaac's descendants. And there's a divine mystery there. God sovereignly chose Isaac and his line through Jacob while he set Ishmael and his descendants against his chosen people. And yet Ishmael and his race was responsible for their sin and rebellion against God. And all that we can say is, like it says in Romans 11 and 33, how unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. I'm here to tell you that what might have been something that would have destroyed you, if you walk in the favor of God, you will overcome. You can look over at your neighbor and say these wonderful words, thank God he's done. But I want to open this altar to somebody tonight because I feel like that there is some heartbreak that God wants to move in. There's some pain that the Spirit wants to minister to. There's some bondage and chains that God wants to break in this place. In church, if somebody would just show their compassion, you know how you do that in this moment? You close your eyes and you pray with a sincere heart. God, reach those that are in need. God, reach them. Can you do that right now? Just close your eyes right now. God, reach those that are in need. Touch those that are. If you are in need tonight, while we are praying, if you want a relationship with Jesus Christ, you want to know Him, you want to be saved, this altar is open for you. And while they sing tonight, this altar is open for you to come. And we are not here to judge you. We're not here to hate on you. We're here to help you. And I'm here to tell you that this whole sermon has been about telling you that God sees your affliction. And if you are in need tonight, don't run, don't be afraid, but come unto Him. And just simply say, God, I'm sorry. Lord, I need you to help me. And He'll bless you as they sing.